gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1226. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me is the one and only Paris, man. What's going on, Paris?
Hey, good morning. How you doing, man?
Everything is good, man. Here, getting ready for my trip, and I'm actually going to Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con. I haven't been there since 2019, before all the changes and everything, so I'm very excited. I'm actually going to an event over there to check out this happening that week. I'm very excited. Very excited. How about you, man? Any plans coming up for you or no?
Well, I'm going to kind of sort of go to TwitchCon.
Oh, snap. Yeah, it's the same week.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm and it's so funny because people have been DMing me and stuff. I'm not going to the actual convention center show floor because I live in San Diego, right? And it's my own laziness that I don't have a badge, but there's a ton of offsite stuff that's happening the week of TwitchCon, so I'm gonna go to all that stuff because I got invited to a bunch of different stuff. So nice. Looking forward to that. So
yeah man, keep me posted, man. Mm-hmm. I know there's a couple there. I'm very curious to hear your thoughts about the event. So yeah. Please keep me posted, man. But yeah, we have a couple of stuff here that we're gonna be talking about. Very important news, especially. The official dates of E3, we're going to be talking about that in a few minutes. And Skull and Bones delayed again. Talk about that. But first, head over to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You can also find us on any podcast app. All you have to do, just go to your favorite podcast app and search for Gamertag Radio. Post your review, follow us, and subscribe. It will help us out to get new listeners, man. So go for it and help us out here, man. Also, if you'd like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, so it's official. E3 is coming back. Your thoughts about this, man? Usually we'll get the official dates of E3 once, like the last day of the event previously, a couple of years back. It hasn't happened in a while. It's been now a couple of years we haven't had an in-person event of E3. But I know E3 is happening next year, and here are the dates. It's going to take place June 13th to the 16th. But the part that we've been talking about this, Paris, for years, now it looks like Repop and the ESA, there's going to be a media day, a couple days for the media, right? And also different locations. And then the last 2 days will be open for the public. So that will be June 15th through the 16th. They're calling this Gamer Days for the fans. And I'm excited about this, Paris, because Gamescom, I know you've been there a couple years back, is very organized. There's a day for the media and there's a day for the fans. And also Tokyo Game Show does the same exact thing. So I was wondering like why it hasn't happened yet for the ESA to do that with E3. But it looks like it's officially going to happen thanks to Repop. Your thoughts, man?
No, this is good. And, we've been talking about this for so many years now, just the decline of E3 and the model and just the way it was working, the way that they had integrated the public in, like just wasn't going to work for being able to get things done, from a media standpoint. Like you mentioned, Gamescom, this closely resembles when I was able to go to Gamescom in 2019, this is a lot more efficient where you have dedicated media days, you have dedicated public days, and then you're separating it. So as a creator, as the media, we can get to go in, we get to see everything, we get to cover the event the way we want, the public gets to come in, they get to go hands-on with the demos and all that, and I think this works a lot better. Now, we'll see it, when the actual event goes on, how they're going to handle that as far as the way the convention center is going to be set up, so that we have, is it going to feel like a ghost town? Is this going to be like E3 2008 where everything's up in the media rooms? Or is it going to be, you know, everything set up with the booths on the show floor and we're having access to that? Can we then come back during the public days if we so choose and check all that kind of stuff out? So this is a step in the right direction. The biggest question out of all of this is going to be who's going to be there. I actually have a feeling Xbox is going to participate in this, right? Nintendo will participate in this. Does EA participate? Does PlayStation participate? You know what I'm saying? This again, is there going to be enough of the big publishers there with content that this makes sense? Or are we still going to see them not wanting to be in the convention center and have their own separate events? That's going to be the interesting part out of all of this. Also, the other factor in this is Jeff Keighley and Summer Game Fest. He has already stated he's still doing it. That's going to happen again next year. Are they going to happen during the same time? Is it going to be a week before? Is this going to be a competition? We'll see how this works. And speaking on that, who participates in Summer Game Fest and doesn't participate in E3 and vice versa? All this is going to be fascinating to me to see how it plays out. But from a selfish standpoint, I'm glad that is happening, because that means a lot of our different friends and colleagues from the industry are going to be here in LA and we all get to hang out. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's the part that the questions you just asked, Paris, like, which of the companies are going to be there, right? One, are they going to be attending E3? Are they going to have their own event? Or are they going to be part of Summer Game Fest? Like last year, it wasn't a lot of gaming companies that were involved, you know, because there were some that that were part of the in-person event or the streaming showcase event, or actually both. So, for example, last year, Sega has Sonic Frontiers, but it wasn't part of the showcase, but it was only part of the in-person event at a Summer Game Fest, you know? So that's a problem, like wondering like what's going to happen there. And I know you mentioned about gaming companies are going to return back, or maybe are they going to come back for the new E3? And I definitely don't see Sony, PlayStation, or EA to come back. They're going to be doing their own thing. Sony is probably going to be focusing on the regular gaming showcase, maybe the return of their in-person event in the future, who knows. But for the EA side, EA Play has been working great for EA, so I think that's going to still continue a separate location. Now, this is the part that's going to be a little bit challenging for Jeff Keighley. I know he has a lot of contacts and everything, but does it make sense to have this event the same week as E3? Is it better to have it before or after? The challenging part is this, Paris. A lot of gaming journalists don't have the budget or the bandwidth to go or to travel back to LA multiple times, especially creators, content creators, which it will be helpful for Jeff Keighley to get that support too, for them to come to Summer Game Fest. Are they going to go back-to-back to the event, you know, a week before or during the same week? Where are they going to go? That's the part that's going to be challenging for Jeff Keighley, in my opinion, man. Do you agree or what?
No, I agree. Completely agree.
Yeah. So, I don't know. For us, it's easier because we live here.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the thing. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Selfishly, hell, I live here. So, it's a no-brainer for me. Of course, I'm going to be there. But for people, like you're saying, that have to travel and the budgets and all of that, is it going to be worth that expense? And we're obviously seeing right now with games media, we've seen layoffs, we're seeing budgets being tightened and all that. So are people going to be able to come this if it's content light? That's the big thing. Who's going to be here? Is there going to be enough big AAA content to cover that you're going to see this big contingent come to Los Angeles for a week, maybe even 2 weeks, depending on what Summer Game Fest, right? When, how they schedule this stuff to be able to cover all this. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, I've been to multiple events from Repop. When it comes to like the fan point of view, like it's really, really packed. Like PAX, that's Repop. Star Wars Celebration, I went there for the first time this year, Paris, and it was packed with fans, you know. So Repop has done a lot. I know they've done also Comic-Con. I wonder how this is going to work for the gaming side overall, because, you know, they have never done this with the ESA. This is going to be the first time. But I think personally for me, I'm excited because now we're going to go back and see more people. You know, I'm excited from that part. From our part point of view to create content, I just hope that everything is organized because, you know, the previous years, and you guys probably heard this multiple times on our show, it was very complicated having the you know, the fan and also the media the same week trying to attend the event. It was very unorganized. Everybody got late. It was so packed. There's a video that Paris posted on Twitter a long time ago. He looked distressed.
I was.
He did. He was like, I'm tapping out. I'm not coming back next year. I'm done. This is too much. Yeah. And I think you also posted a picture of your face. Like, your expression was like, oh my God, help.
Yeah. It was just chaos, dude. Just absolute chaos. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see. But yeah, Paris, I think the part that I'm curious is the whole Summer Game Fest and this, man, is going to be the same week. It's going to be very, very interesting to see, man, future. So, all right. So that's enough for all E3. But you guys, any questions, feedback about this, make sure to contact us, fanmail@gamertagrev.com, or give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. All right, Paris. So the next thing I would like to talk about, Skull and Bones, delayed again. Again, and this time is coming out March of 2023. I think this game is never going to come out, but that's just my opinion. I'm one of those that, hey, I support the devs no matter what. If you want to take your time to make the game even better, go for it. But here was the challenging part of releasing this game in November. There's multiple games coming around that time that I feel it would have been too much for the game. And it's probably not going to get highlighted because of games like God of War, for example. That's coming out in November, right? But here's the thing. They're moving this to March. Paris, Starfield is coming out around that time. There's more games coming out during the springtime. I don't know how they're going to do this, but I just hope that everything works out for the dev team. I get it. Developing a game is not easy at all. But you know, are you still curious to play this game? Are you curious about Skull and Bones? I know we played this, the old version a couple years back at E3.
I'm still curious to go hands-on with it and try it out. As far as them delaying it, hey, the game ain't ready, then please delay it. But it is curious what happened here in the past few weeks that they decide, because again, they're the ones that announce, all right, here's the launch date, here's where it's coming out in November, and then a few weeks later you're like, no, we need to delay it until March. So obviously something late here in the development process sprung up that they need to resolve, so they needed more time. Well, hey, that's fine, do what you got to do. But to your point, you're releasing it during honestly, even if they were to release it in November, you're releasing it in a window that's going to be very competitive. If they would have put it out in November, you got to deal with Call of Duty, right? And if you bring it out in March, like to your point, there's going to be Starfield that's coming out. Zelda comes out a month or two after that, right? Because that comes out in May. We know Forza is going to be releasing in that window somewhere. Redfall is going to be releasing around that time. Excuse me, as well. Guarantee there's going to be other things that come out during early 2023. I feel like there was something else big that got delayed into early 2023, and I'm forgetting. But to the point, it's going to be very competitive. We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah,
that's a lot. Yeah. Here's the thing, though, man. Like, there was a time where Ubisoft was releasing nonstop great content. Do you remember that, Paris?
We thought,
they're strong. Yeah, and it's been a while like that. It's been a couple of years that we haven't felt that from Ubisoft, man. So I wish them luck, man. You know, I'm not one of those, like, you know, people that would be saying, like, ah, that game is going to be trash. I had a great time playing the first version that we got to play years back, you know. So, and I'm a huge fan of, you know, Assassin's Creed and The Division, all that stuff. So, you know, I wish them luck. I just hope everything works out, man. It's just, it's challenging when you have a game like that, that is especially a new IP, and it's getting, first of all, everybody's know this game as getting delayed nonstop, right? And I feel like the other games that's coming out next year during that time is going to stand out even more, man. So that's the part is going to be challenging for Ubisoft. But here's the thing. When is the right time to release this? No matter what.
I agree. There's almost, there really isn't a good time. I would probably say, honestly, during the summer. Again, you want to put it out in a window where there isn't a lot of other competition. And hey, here's this new IP that's coming out. Hey, go pick it up and try it out. If you're just putting it up against other big AAA games, it's going to be that are known IPs, I should say. It's going to be tough. Actually, I think January probably would have been the perfect time to put this out. Beginning of the year, kick off the new year, Skull and Bones. That to me would have made the most sense to put it out. But hey, if they need it until March, then they need it until March. You know, again, I wish them all the best. I will obviously try it out because I am curious about it, but I don't know. It's a risk for them. We know what we played, you know, a few years back, and I know it's been overhauled since then. But I do question, is this going to have mass appeal, you know, to a wide audience? So we'll see.
Yeah, definitely, man. So yeah, good luck. Good luck to the whole Ubisoft team. Actually, this is from the team at Singapore that's been Ubisoft Singapore that've been working on this game now for a while now. So yeah, shout out to them. All right, Paris. So the next thing is I believe you've been talking about Portal 2 going to be part of the Games of Gold.
Actually, by the time this comes out, it's going to be gone, unfortunately, because it was a part of Games with Gold for September. And by the time this comes out, like, yeah, as we're recording this, it's going to be October. So I literally tweeted it out like, look, yo, grab this now. Even if you don't need to play it, just grab it now just to have it, because it is easily one of the best games ever made. And, you know, if you can get it, like, matter of fact, I think this is the last Xbox 360 game that's going to be a part of Games with Gold.
Really? Yeah. After that, it's going to be done?
Mm-hmm. I think it's done.
You know, I mean, I don't even, honestly, I don't even use Game for Gold. I haven't used that in years. I've been using just Game Pass. You know, like, there was a time I was just downloading games, not only from Games for Gold, but it was on a PlayStation Plus every month. I'll just download it to keep it, you know, as long as you're part of the service, you know. But yeah, I haven't downloaded a game in so long from there, unless it's a game like that, you know,
right?
A very iconic game, you know.
But yeah,
shout out to you guys there. Make sure to take advantage right now. Go to the service and download this game, man. You're not gonna find it anywhere else. All right, so another game, it looks like it got moved, Paris, but the good way. Scorn originally was set to release October 21st. And now it's going to be released on October 14th. So it's actually not getting delayed. It's coming out earlier. I know there's been a preview event a couple weeks back. A lot of the creators have been posting that. The game look pretty disgusting. But I'm ready to play this horror game, man. Very, very excited. Scorn is also going to be part of the Game Pass on day one. So Paris, your thoughts, are you planning to play this at all? Are you into horror games?
I'm interested in this. I'm interested to check it out. I know, like you and I know SkillUp, everybody knows SkillUp, because he had posted like basically some preview hands-on with it, and he seemed to be really into it. So he was like, look, I don't know what the hell this is, but I'm digging it kind of vibe. So I'm like, hey, I'll check it out for sure. Looking forward to it. So the fact that it's coming a week early is good. Hey, we're in a world where we're used to delays, to actually see something come ahead of time, you know, we got to applaud that.
Yeah, definitely, man. And yeah, this is the game that we got to see during FanFest a couple months back. I'm excited. Like, I love horror games, man, especially for the month of October. Let's do it. Actually, I'm going tonight to Horror Nights. I'm good. Yeah, can't wait to check this out, man. Yeah, Game Pass day one, man. Here's the thing, man. Game Pass, it's going to have so many games next year, especially early next year, man, I don't know how they're going to do it with the calendar, man. Especially spring. Ooh, it's going to be busy through there, man. But this game is also coming out for the PC. So if you have Steam, Epic Game Store, GOG is going to be there too. And of course, Xbox Game Pass day one. I'm actually, my question to you, Paris, is this going to be Game Pass only for console, or is it going to be available for Game Pass PC? You don't know yet?
No, it's Game Pass PC, because I'm literally looking at it on the Xbox app right now on PC.
Oh, well, even better.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh, awesome, man. Perfect, man. By the way, Paris, the other day, I had the whole Obsidian team that came to the studio at G4. We were actually having a celebration, the release of Grounded, man. I honestly stopped playing this during their early access days because I don't want to be spoiled, you know, because usually you get to see stuff early, you know, it's not 100%, you know, but now that the new version, the official retail version is out, we got to check out the game, the new stuff added in there, plus the new video intro. As soon as you start the game, looks really, really cool. It reminded me of me watching a Saturday morning cartoon. And you have to check out the credits of this game. Amazing track, man. So the game looks really, really good, man. I haven't had the time yet to play it, but most likely I'm gonna play this on my PC. I'm gonna try to see if this works for the Steam Deck. Can't wait to check this out, man. I know this is also available for xCloud too. So have you been playing Grounded at all?
Yeah. We did a review on I can't even think of the damn show, but on XCast. I enjoy it. I really enjoyed it. My only thing that I took out of it was, because similar to you, I played it very early on when they first announced it, and then I just backed off. And to jump into this now with the full story integrated, it's good. This is truly a survival game. Like, no question. This is a survival game. But playing it by myself, I was getting my ass handed to me a few times.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. You definitely want to play this with friends. Like, I'm planning to start up a world with my kids and play it that way.
Yeah, cool, man. Yeah. Yeah, I think this is the perfect game to play with the family and everything, man. It's really cool, man. So shout out and congrats to Obsidian. I know they've been working this for a while, man, especially during the pandemic, man. So yeah, can't wait, man. All right, Paris. So I don't know if you are, but I'm using the new Wave DX mic. This is the first XLR mic from Elgato. Shout out to the team over there. They sent us the mic really early, really, really early. They sounded confident as hell to release this and to announce this product, and you could go right now and actually buy this brand new mic for only $99, man. And for the price, I'm very, very impressed, Paris, with this mic, man. This is the mic that I'm using now. I know for the past couple of years I've been using one of the Shure mics. It's also a dynamic mic, so yeah, this is good, man. I'm loving this. It has a pop filter already built in. You don't really need to add one, because usually people will do that for like their mics and everything like that. It sounds great, man. How about you? Your experience of using this mic?
I'm talking to you on it right now. Again, thank you to Elgato. Been using it for the past few weeks, and this is a very solid XLR mic for sure. I love the build quality of it. Obviously the sound reproduction on it has been really good. I have it paired with my Go XLR, and it's been great, man. It's, again, you're seeing Elgato really leaning into this creator market more and more, trying to make sure that all their creators have all the tools that they need, between, you know, microphones, obviously the camera, just everything that they've been doing. And this is just another along those lines. And this is good. This is definitely, when you look at the XLR microphone market, this is definitely right up there at the top of ones that you should be considering, because again, the audio reproduction on it's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Highly recommend it, man. For those that have been using the USB mics, like the wave mics, like Wave 3 was the last one that I checked out. Or if you have any other different mics, make sure to check out this one. I think the price is perfect. The quality sounds great. I just love the design overall too, and it feels like a premium mic from Elgato. So make sure to check it out. I'm actually going to put the link under the description of this episode on Audio Boom or any of the podcast app. You just scroll down, you're going to see it. Click it, check it out. It's really, really cool. I got to see the videos of different creators using it, and so far everybody's been loving it, man. Very, very much, man. So congrats to Elgato for announcing this brand new mic, the first XLR mic, and that's called this one is called Wave DX. Is there anything else, Paris? I know we're almost out of time, but we're not there yet for the 30-minute mark. You have anything else you'd like to talk about?
We just talked about the mic. We talked about E3. Actually, let's talk about Project Amplify from Xbox really quick.
And oh, yeah.
We can wrap it up on that. So basically, Xbox has an initiative internally where they're going to have basically people of color, let's just call it what it is, black folks that work at Xbox that are in game development, telling their stories, how they got into the industry, what they do at Xbox, etc. And the whole point of this is to kind of start this conversation of how can we get more of our black youth into game development. Start that process. They already do something called Game Camp New Orleans. They just did one called Game Camp Atlanta as well. But it's enabling more of our black youth to basically get into STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. And the whole point of that is there's certain skill sets that you need to get into game development, right? Let's curate that. Let's encourage that. Let's inspire people to want to get into that. So you had various people in Xbox that are people of color, that are black people, that told their stories, and they have a video up. You can go to Xbox.com and see it now. And obviously Sarah Bond is kind of the face of that, because she's the most recognized and known with her position over at Xbox. And to just have all these people, like Melissa Boone is someone else that I got to work with for this part of Game Camp New Orleans, but to have all these various people telling their stories is inspiring. Hell, I'm old and it inspires me, right? So imagine a 14 or 15 year old kid that gets to watch this video and see that, wow, someone that looks like me is working at Xbox and is creating all these experiences that I enjoy right now as a teenager. What are the things that I can do to get the skills needed to be able to do it as well? And that's the whole point of Project Amplify. It's not the end all be all, but it starts the conversation, and there's clearly a lot more work that still needs to be done in that aspect. But I'm excited for it. I'm very happy to see it.
Yeah. You know what, Paris, I think it is important for gaming companies to start having programs like this, but actually talking about it, because sometimes they probably will do this behind the scenes and not announce it publicly, which in my opinion, I think it hurts more. It doesn't really help us by not talking about it. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And by Microsoft doing this, I think it's going to inspire a lot of other companies in the industry to also make this change. And hopefully it will help out to get more resources for people of color overall, man. So, props to Xbox for announcing this and promoting this online big time. I think this is very, very important, man, to see that.
So I've recently just converted my gaming rig, my work laptop. I've converted everything over to Windows 11. So I've been using Windows 11. And from a gaming standpoint, I've been gaming on Windows 11. And I actually ran into, because they just came out with, what is it, the 22HR20, whatever, the big update for Windows 11 had just come out the week or so before. So I was like, you know what, let me go ahead and update. I'm going to start using Windows 11, and let's see if I can take advantage of some of the gaming aspects of Windows 11 at the same time. And it's been mostly positive. It's been 90% positive. I did run into an issue where I lost performance. Again, speaking of Cyberpunk, where I was playing Cyberpunk 2077, and compared to when I was playing it on Windows 10 to where I was playing it on Windows 11, I lost like 60% performance, like frames per second. Like my frames per second had dropped into like the 20s right? And I was like, what the hell is going on? And the only difference was all the hardware is exactly the same. The only difference was Windows 11. So it turns out there actually was an issue. And the update was the 22H2 update that came out for Windows 11. And there actually was an issue with that, with NVIDIA. And NVIDIA actually, over the weekend, they put out basically a beta version of the NVIDIA Experience and drivers. And then they officially here, Tuesday, put out the actual final driver update. And that resolved the issue. And everything's been fine since then. But yeah, that was weird. I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, I was losing my mind. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Why is this not working? Why am I getting such poor performance on this? What didn't I do? And I double, triple, quadruple checked everything. And it literally was just Windows 11. And I reached out to NVIDIA offline and brought it up to them. And they acknowledged, yeah, there was an issue. Kind of just walked me through the steps to get into the beta stuff. And then obviously the final thing came out and it's been fine. But yeah, I mean, it's been for the most part a really good experience on Windows 11. Now, I would say if you're on Windows 10 and everything's working fine, I would not run out to go upgrade to Windows 11. But if you have an opportunity to test it out, brand new machine, something like that, yeah, I mean, you'll be fine. You'll be fine with it. The UI is a little bit different than Windows 10, but it's mostly the same. And other than that, I mean, you know, from a work standpoint, it's been fine. Gaming stuff, like I said, after I resolved that issue, it's been fine. Like I said, I've been playing a lot of Cyberpunk recently, and obviously we've seen the news with the resurgent with Edge Runners. We've talked about it already, but they just surpassed 20 million people that are now playing Cyberpunk. So, I mean, people are definitely digging it. And look, is it perfect? No, but hey, it's a solid, it's a good game. They fixed a lot of the issues that they had back in 2020, and we don't need to relitigate all that stuff here. But overall, yeah, I mean, it's been good on Windows 11, and I'm definitely looking to deep dive more into it here over the next few weeks, and I'll keep people updated on my experience. Now, I did see Digital Foundry put out their video about the 4090 and DLSS3, and this is still preview stuff. This isn't the final review or anything, because they actually can't talk about the actual frames per second that they're getting increase over the Ampere cards, but you know, it's looking positive with DLSS3. And it really has me tempted to want to jump into the 40 series cards for that performance boost. But we'll see. Final reviews, I would imagine, are going to be out here in the next week or so. So I'm very curious to see what the creators are going to say.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, everyone, let's talk about our sponsor, and that's ExpressVPN. I know most of you are probably thinking, why don't you just use incognito mode? Let me tell you something. By using this mode, it does not hide your activity. It doesn't matter what mode you use or how many times you clear your browsing history. Your internet service provider can still see every single website I've ever visited. That's why even when I'm home, I never go online without using ExpressVPN. It doesn't matter who your internet service provider is, ISPs in the U.S. can legally sell your information to ads companies. ExpressVPN is an app that reroutes your internet connection through their secure services so your ISP can't see the sites you visit. ExpressVPN also keeps all your information secure by encrypting 100% of your data with the most powerful encryption available. Most of the time, I don't even realize I have ExpressVPN on. It runs seamlessly in the background, and it's so easy to use. All you have to do is just tap one button, and that's it. You're protected. So ExpressVPN is available on all devices, all your devices. Doesn't matter if it's phone, computers, and you can even use this on your smart TV. There's no excuse for you not to be using it. So GTR listeners, this is a great deal. Take advantage of this. Protect your online activity today with the VPN rated number one by Business Insider. Visit our exclusive link, expressvpn.com/GTR, and you can get an extra 3 months for free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/GTR. Once again, expressvpn.com/GTR to learn more.
Thank you. is Gamertag Radio.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about should I upgrade, but I'm definitely not upgrading to Windows 11. So I'm just going to wait maybe in the future because I'm actually like right now what I have. And look, I'm not the techie guy compared to you and Pete, but I'm having a great time with what I have right now. So I don't see myself upgrading Windows 11 anytime soon. Right. Now, the 40 series, so that's way more expensive than their 38 and 3090, right? So as a person like me, Paris, does it make sense at all to upgrade or just keep what I have right now from that side?
Well, again, we need to wait to see. But I would imagine, because you got a 3080 Ti, right?
Yeah, 3080.
This is 3080? You should be fine. You're fine. I mean,
not a TI.
Yeah. Just but you're fine. I will never tell anyone to go run out and spend $1,600 on a 4090. Yeah. But to mention, with your hardware, do you know what your power supply is rated at? What's the wattage on it? Do you know?
I have no idea. He was the one that helped me out.
Because I would say, for safety's sake, just to be good, you would want at least 1,000-watt power supply for that 4090 because it's a power hog. So anything less, I mean, you can probably get away with like an 850, but that's probably the bare minimum. I would want at least 1,000-watt power supply just for headroom.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, what are the difference between... I mean, the size looks ridiculous. I seen that the design. I'm like, oh, that's pretty too big. But do you think there's any major differences though? Like compare to what we have and what they've been showing publicly online so far? Like a major difference?
What do you mean? And what do you mean?
Meaning like as a creator, like to for editing, for for games, for streaming. Is it like major difference or not really?
No, it's not going to be major. I mean, it comes down to this. From a gaming standpoint, if you're looking for more frames per second, that's all this comes down to. These 4000 series cards are, and I'm doing the air quotes because we'll see when the final review comes out, are doing 2 to 4 times performance increase over the 30 series cards, depending on which ones that you have. And then I think a lot of this is coupling it with DLSS 3. Are not all games are going to support DLSS 3 right out the jump. So there's going to be a time gap between when we see that support integrated in. So I don't think there's going to be a reason to run out tomorrow and go get a 4000 series card unless you're just bleeding edge, got to have the latest and greatest type thing. Not to mention AMD is going to have their event beginning of November. They're going to release their new cards. There might be, they might not be, there might undercut them price wise. We'll see what performance looks like on those, et cetera. So sure. We'll see. I'm waiting to see what J2Sense and Gaming Nexus and all the rest of these guys are going to say here in the next week or so. Digital Foundry obviously is another one. I want to see what they say in the next week or so. If this is something that you need to run out tomorrow and go get, or can I wait? Because I have a 3090. I play Cyberpunk and all that. I play it fine at 4K. Looks great with ray tracing, Psycho settings enabled. So do I need to run out and go get a day one? No. Am I tempted because I'm a tech junkie and I want the latest and greatest? Of course I am. But, I want to see what the real world performance looks like.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go, guys. Make sure to do your research before buying it. If you have what I have, don't need to upgrade at all. So there you have it. All right, we're going to wrap it up here. Gamertag Radio, thanks to Paris for joining. I know this was a recorded version of the podcast because we're going to be traveling a lot. I don't know how we're going to do this for next week because of Comic-Con and TwitchCon. We'll figure it out. I probably will record something during my trip. I have a couple things planned so far, so stay tuned on that. We're going to wrap it up here. Head over to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Subscribe, follow us, and also, more importantly, post a review. Help us out. Do that, all right? Also, if you'd like to be part of our family discussion, I know we have an email and a voicemail from a couple of fans. I'm going to say that for future episodes, so stay tuned. Make sure to contact us, and here's how you could do it.
send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Are we going to wrap it up here? Thank you for listening. Until next time, we are out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.